You're listening to a Weeby Geeks Network podcast. Promo of the week.
Well, I'm going to ask you one question. Is that a normal man?
Well, I think...
Do you think he had control of his senses? Do you think he's all there? The answer is no. And he gets a championship match for the championship of the world. Now, I know promoters are coming from all over. And that's usually when they smell a championship change. That's usually when they want to be the first one there to get dates on the new champion. You're wasting your time. You're wasting a trip.
It proves conclusively, I guess, what Hulk Hogan is capable of, Dick Bockwinkel.
Okay, I'll tell you what he's capable of. I'd like to stand out here and talk very rational. I'd like to stand out here and just talk in a very nice, soft-spoken tone. But it's impossible. And the reason it's impossible, because you just said what this man is capable of. Now, he has shown, he has demonstrated to the people of Chicago and the rest of the world that he is capable of being a little wacko. Being 330 or 40 pounds of 6'8" giant that can go in there. Now, we are talking about wrestling, and maybe it has passed by Stanley Blackburn and the promoters and the matchmakers throughout the country that this man has no place in wrestling. He has proven it time and time again. And yet, they are actually having me step into the ring to defend the heavyweight championship of the world, wrestling, the oldest sport in the world, against a man who has no wrestling ability, who has shown he has no respect for anyone's body or limb or life, and all he wants to do is hurt, maim, and destroy, and you people are excited about the fact that this could become the next heavyweight champion of the world? You're all sick!
When my man defends the championship of the world, I do not wrestle on the card. Well, somehow Wally Carbo and Stanley Blackburn, I'm on the card. I have to wrestle Buck Zumoff. I challenge him. He stuck his nose in my business for last time. But postpone this. Down the line, let's do it. I want to be free to be in this man's corner. We've worked too long and too hard to throw this away because some guy that is 6'8", 350 pounds, can't control his emotions.
Okay, Hulk Hogan.
And we're going to have to get in the ring with him.
Well, I'm going to take and have to step in there, and you may just turn
there
me
is a great
into a
deal of apprehension and concern on the part of Dick Bockwinkel, his manager, Bobby Heenan, regarding the incredible Hulk Hogan, the man who's really talented.
And once again, Pro Wrestling Cast, the podcast that brings you the legendary Nick Bockwinkel. Every single week, we are the podcast that promotes the heck out of the man, out of the life of this living legend who sadly had left this world this past week. We start off with the promo of the week, Bobby Heenan, Gene Okerlund, and the legendary Nick Bockwinkel. Your thoughts on this, Stephen?
Well, when I was young, my dad used to tell me about Nick Bockwinkel, and he said, now here's the best world champion, because, you know, I don't know. That's why I always talked about him, because he reminds me of my dad, or reminds me about watching wrestling with my dad, which is one of the best memories of my young life. Nick was a classic champion in every way. He worked about 20 straight years without a break in Minnesota. He was one of the few people that lived in Minnesota. He was part of one of the greatest tag teams, technically, as far as wrestling and as far as heat, with Ray Stevens. Ray Stevens is one wrestler that you could actually say is possibly better than Nick Bockwinkel, because Nick Bockwinkel is one of the best wrestlers of all time. Every match he did looked different from the other. When you watch Ric Flair wrestle or Bret Hart wrestle, it's like a Ric Flair match. It's like a Bret Hart match. They look, Steve Austin too, Undertaker. They have the same 5 to 8 moves. They do a lot. They have the same tempo. Nick Bockwinkel, every match was different. That's what makes him one of the all-time greats. He was one of the few people to beat Vern Gagne. They basically flipped the belt back and forth for years and years and years. When he was no longer the champion in AWA, that pretty much signaled the end of the AWA. He dropped the belt to Curt Hennig, but before he dropped it, he had a one-hour match at the age of, I believe it was 52, in Las Vegas, double juice, and Curt Hennig blew up. Nick Bockwinkel was 52 years old. Curt Hennig wanted to go at a rapid-fire pace. Greg Gagne once described in a promo or interview I saw with him, and Greg said, please don't go fast with Nick. He'll blow you up. Well, that's exactly what happened. Nick blew him up at 52. It's a shame we don't have more footage. You know, the legacy of the AWA DVD's probably the best, clearest footage that we have of him. And, you know, Vince McMahon owns most of that footage. And, you know, I'm glad Greg Gagne, who's a really great guy in real life, because I know a friend of his, I'm glad Greg was able to sell those tapes and make some money, because, you know, the AWA ended tragically. Nick Bockwinkel was everything good about the AWA, the great technical wrestling aspect like Billy Robinson and Vern Gagne, but the great heel promo that basically, you know, if you look at his old promos, that is what Ric Flair became, but on a more, I don't know, cocaine-induced level. Allegedly, I'm not saying, but you know, that's basically what Ric Flair was, just turned up version of Bockwinkel without the big words. He was a very intelligent man. He was a very level-headed human being. And I think this is the most important thing. Nick was a classy man that people respected. He was married to the same woman. They had a beautiful home in Minnesota. It was a cottage on a large amount of acreage based around sort of a, you know, like an English-styled home. And, you know, he did live a pretty long life for a wrestler. He did have dementia the last 2 years of his life, which is very sad, similar to what Vern had. But I know for most of his life, he was very happy. But, you know, 18 years without a break, world champion for years at a time. And this is back when Vern Gagne, I believe, held the belt for 6 years in one period of time. And Nick was the guy they chose. It wasn't Hulk Hogan. It wasn't, you know, Billy Robinson. It was Nick Bockwinkel. His father was a great wrestler. He was a great wrestler. He was one of those first guys with that California boy kind of look and style. But I think everybody knew he was a great wrestler, even though he was a heel. And, you know, what more can you say? Great matches, always different. Could do an hour match, could do a 20-minute match, could do a jobber squash. He could do a technical match with Vern or Billy Robinson. You know, he could do just about anything. Up until the very end, he was still a great worker in his early 50s, late 40s. Still a great worker. And when he finally turned babyface and left, you know, they were playing to houses of 150 people. So he left when it was time to go. You know, he stayed in wrestling. I think, you know, people, you know, maybe don't realize he was a WCW as a commissioner sort of figure for a while. And he had a brief run as an agent with Vince. But, you know, he was a man that kept his dignity in an immoral business for the most part. He was a classy guy. He wore great cufflinks. You know, he did all the stuff a classy guy does. And he was the real thing. And that shooty promo he did on Hulk Hogan was pretty interesting.
It was, because he thought Okerlund was cutting him off.
Yeah. And he had a lot of fire in that. And I think the fire came from the fact that, you know, Hogan looked like he was going to take his title.
Yeah.
You know, and I think he was 47 or 45 in that promo. So it's like, you know, it wouldn't be the biggest surprise in the world.
Well, the man took care of himself. It was very apparent. I mean, the guy to me was the AWA, as you said. And I knew about Nick Bockwinkel and had seen videos on YouTube regarding his matches. But it wasn't until we started doing this show that I really gained a great respect for him, and learning more and more with all the podcasts being released regarding him is great. And I'm just very proud that you started off promoting Nick Bockwinkel from the very first episode of this program, and that we kept the torch alive for this legend. Nick Bockwinkel, 1934 to 2015, AWA, four-time world champion, holder of the AWA Tag Team Championship, just the man. And we pay tribute to him today. So,
and he was a four-time champion when he held the belt for years at a time. So, you know, there's 10-time champions like John Cena that have it for a month or 3 months. You know, those 4 years, those four title reigns added up to several years. He was the top five guys, you know, Stan Hansen, Brody, Terry Funk, Ric Flair, and I put Bockwinkel in there too, and Harley Race too. You know, those are the great, just for me personally, the modern era, so to speak, as you call it. But mm-hmm. he was in the modern era, and he had won titles in like 1955. He won a TV title in 1955. Like he's been wrestling he'd wrestled a long time.
He really did, man. And yeah, he was a man's man. So this episode dedicated to the memory of Nick Bockwinkel.
It's Pro Wrestling Cast.
Shut up. My time has come, and that's the bottom line.
With your hosts, Al John and Steven.
I've been the best ever since day one when I walked into this company.
It's Pro Wrestling Cast, for a weekly look into the world of professional wrestling.
I'm going to reach out right now. I want you at home to know my hand is touching your hand.
Follow
us on Facebook at Pro Wrestling Cast and on Twitter at P Wrestling Cast.
I always try to do what's best for business.
Have a question or just want to comment? Leave us a voicemail at 615-9339-PWC. That's 615-9339-792.
Or how about a Y2J telling you to shut the hell up?
And now, Pro Wrestling Cast.
The music of The Undertaker, Undertaker Week here on the WWE Network, and of course, the legendary Nick Bockwinkle starts off the show to pay tribute to him. My name is Al John Go, wrestling fan, and looking forward to Survivor Series here tomorrow on the WWE Network. This program brought to you by WWE Network, and you can subscribe to the network right now. Do it! ProWrestlingCast.com. And if you do that right now, the great thing about it is that you can get this particular program, which I dig. Plus, you get tables, lighters, and chairs. So do it right now. Sign up for a month. You get 30 days of it for free. Just click on our links. We get credit for that there at ProWrestlingCast.com. Also brought to you by our good friends at High Spots. Black Friday right around the corner. And right now, most items, 25% off. That excludes rings, accessories, gift certificates, belts, and subscriptions. Most DVDs up to 40% off, which coincidentally, you can also purchase the Nick Bockwinkle Shoot Interview DVD for $19.99 and click our link to High Spots. Take advantage of the sale going on right now. The legendary Nick Bockwinkle Shoot Interview is amazing. Great stuff. Yeah. Steven, you purchased
on it. Yeah, he great has cufflinks on in it. Yeah, I've seen it.
He's a very dapper dressing gentleman.
He's always really dressed really well. He's always had a good eye for it. You know, I dress up a lot as we've seen on the show, but a guy like that can get
well, custom. You are dapper.
Thank yeah. you. But a guy like I, with my eye, knows that, you know, he's a custom-made guy, and that's a different level of dapper.
It really is. Joined once again with our host and the gentleman that is single-handedly keeping the spirit of Mr. Bockwinkle alive today, the Dr. Death Mark himself, Mr. Stephen Anthony. How are you, sir?
I do have a pair of Burberry cufflinks, which cost more than a suit.
I believe it. You are custom made from head to toe, my friend.
No, I'm not. That's not accurate.
Well, more than me. I tell you what, I'm the guy dressed it like a schmutz every week with a t-shirt. with a t-shirt and just every single week broadcasting out of the Tiki studio that I'm broadcasting out of every single week. You know, the era of the AWA is just such a great time. You know, we talk about Mid-Atlantic, we talk about WCCW, we talk about old school territories, but some of that stuff is just great. The AWA for me is basically what led to the WWE success.
Well, they bought everybody. You
know, they bought everybody. That's true.
They bought Gene. They bought Jesse. They bought Hulk. They bought.
They bought Sheik. They bought Iron Sheik.
They bought Shawn later on.
Yeah.
In the Rockers.
Yeah.
Steamboat comes from there in that training camp. Ric Flair is the reason Ric Flair wrestles is because of Vern Gagne.
Yeah.
He wanted to quit the training camp. Vern beat his ass and he stayed in, and he became Richard Flair became Ric Flair because of AWA. Sergeant Slaughter.
That's right. That's right. And I talked to the Sarge about it there at C2E2 a little bit. Yeah, it's very cool. I wish I could have recorded it, but his manager didn't want any of that. So.
I heard about that. Yes.
Yeah. So according to this in High Spots, when you buy the Shoot Interview, it is a digital download product these days. You know, it's much better when you digitally download the video, which is great. So no DVD will be shipped out when you purchase this. It's a direct digital download. And it says here in the description, in a different era of pro wrestling, only the best ascended to greatness. Three men rule the world of the AWA, the WWE, and NWA. These men traveled more miles, wrestled more opponents, and have a multitude of stories to tell. It is with great honor that we present to you one of these men in a brand new shoot with former AWA World Heavyweight Champion Nick Bockwinkle. In fascinating interview on several different levels, he grew up in a pro wrestling family during the golden age of the business. Two, he tells tales of wrestling greatest legends as he hung around to do so many great matches. And of course, Nick's own success in the AWA. as world champion, and the many travels in the wrestling business, this is a must-see interview.
And I'll say this about it. I'll give a spoiler. He actually has a very interesting view on Bruiser Brody in the shoot, where he says it really makes him angry that Brody shouldn't have gotten killed, because he felt like Brody did things to where, you know, he left his family behind, which I thought was a very controversial thing to say, but it's an interesting take on it. You know,
yeah.
Like, it really makes me angry that he left his family behind by his actions.
Yeah. In this, in this DVD, Nick Rick recounts a rib plate on the legendary Yukon Eric. He also, remembers his tag team partner. You mentioned, Ray Stevens,
possibly the best wrestler ever,
wrestler ever, wrestling with legends like Harley Race and Larry Hanning, and his great rivalry with Vern Gagne in the ring, which was absolutely legendary. If you ever check out some of the footage, you can see it. And then he also talks extensively about being in the ring with the immortal Hulk Hogan, talking about his work. Was he a good worker? Did Nick see anything in this upstart? The urban legend regarding Vern offering the Iron Sheik $100,000 to break Hogan's leg. Did he or did he not? He actually will spill that in there. And what was it like to work with Andre the Giant? He's very candid. He is one of the most controversial figures in wrestling, but he is a man's man. And last but not least, he also talks about Stan Hansen. He talks about Dusty Rhodes, Mad Dog Vachon, Rick Martel, so many of the other AWA legendary figures that a lot of you know if you are a newer wrestling fan, that are legends in the WWE, WWF. But where do they all come from? The AWA. And you can't find a more comprehensive shoot video out there, other than maybe talking to the Gagnons themselves. But Nick Bockwinkel, the man, and I'm going to put that link in the show notes so you can purchase it using our High Spots link. Because as I talk about this, it's almost like we're doing a review about it. You own this DVD, Steve. Can you tell? This is a must purchase, a much watch DVD for you, I would imagine.
It is for someone like me. Now, look, an AWA fan, for an old school wrestling fan, it's invaluable. Now, if you just watch Edge matches or CM Punk matches and you don't know anything about Nick Bockwinkel, you know, I don't know. He's just basically a very candid 2-hour conversation with him wearing fantastic cufflinks. But the new school guys need to learn about the old school because it was better. It was much better. There's no doubt that it was better. They drew more houses. They were on. They lasted longer, and they were just better shows. I don't know how else to put it. Their main events were excellent. Not that New Japan and WWE and AAA and pro wrestling, Noah, don't have great main events. But, you know, it just seemed more logical and realistic back then. And you can get more insight into the psychology behind the realism of it, where almost everything is real, except for the two competitors essentially for the most part working together. And then the match finish that's kind of whispered into their ear. That's how they did it back then. And it makes for a very realistic match, which kind of like Stan Hansen on the first episode has said is my favorite wrestler. He was an AWA champion. He cut the best promo I ever saw in my life, his first promo in the AWA. And, you know, his style was like that. The Japanese competitor, especially Misawa and Kobashi, never really knew what he was going to do, and he never knew what he was going to do. And that makes it realistic. So their reaction to him is real, you know. Reaction to getting hit in the face for example, is real.
I agree. It's definitely great stuff for sure. You need to check that out there using our High Spots link. We've got plenty of stuff to talk about and chew on this week, a week that's riddled in controversy with Paige Charlotte, Ric Flair, and the Flair family. We also have the Survivor Series that is tomorrow, and we're going to have a live, probably a live blab to talk about that and your reactions to this WWE Network special. We also have got new deals for TNA and Ring of Honor in terms of television and so much talent information. I tell you what, let's go ahead and launch into
This Week in Wrestling News.
And first, I'm going to play a little bit of this. This might be uncomfortable for some viewers. I'm going to go ahead and lead with this because I can't get my head around this whole situation one bit. And I think you're going to know this is the situation, as I allude to, in terms of Charlotte Flair and Paige. And I want you to listen to this clip because if you don't know what I'm talking about, this is definitely, well, I'll just play the damn clip.
You know, I didn't get into this business to make friends. But when I started at NXT, forget the fact that we come from the same background. I can't even believe I'm about to say this. I wanted to be like you. I was the naive, sweet Carolina girl. You were the British badass. You know, we didn't grow up like most little girls. We sat at home watching our parents on the television night after night, sacrificing their body. They cared about the WWE almost as much as they cared about us. That's why my late brother, when my little brother passed away, you were there for me. I am here today because of him. And that's the only reason to fulfill his dream.
Wow, Shala, you know what? That was quite a speech. I had a tear in my eye. Oh, no, wait. That's confidence. You are so naive, Charlotte. It makes me sick and it is embarrassing.
Oh, wait just a moment, Charlotte. Charlotte, the contract.
You know what? I am so sick of this. You think that everyone has your back and that's a bunch of bull. No one has your back and no one will have your back this Sunday. Not even Daddy. Mr. Four Horsemen himself. You know what?
There won't be a Survivor Series. You won't even make it out of this building.
Charlotte Paige has signed the contract.
I will continue to fight each and every day. Just like everyone in my entire family has, just like my dad did, just like my little brother did, and just like I do.
You know what, Charlotte? You're wrong, sweetheart. Because your little baby brother, he didn't have much fight in him, did he?
Oh, come on.
So.
That was uncalled for. There's no reason for Paige to go
What in
there.
The hell was that? You know,
well, I'll be really blunt. You know, I think Charlotte's a bad promo, and I think they wanted to put her in a situation where she'd be overly emotional, and I think they wanted to get some heat on Paige, and I think they see their ratings low, and I think this is fucking disgusting. I don't know what else to say.
You know, in different wrestling groups that we're a part of on Facebook, I said, you know what, this promo actually had a lot of potential.
Yeah.
As I look at Raw, and you look at how their lack of promotion of this contract signing, mentioning it maybe once, maybe twice throughout the entire show, maybe in the first hour.
Which was confusing,
Which was very confusing. And then you look at, you know, where the direction the promo was going. I don't know if they were actually going to do it. Maybe the decision was made at the last minute that this was the direction in which this was going to go.
I know she got the script that day.
Yeah, and she got put in a very bad situation. Now, you and I both are fans, and we've talked about this before. We love wrestling podcasts. I literally was waiting in anticipation for Woo Nation this week.
I was wondering if you could talk about it, honestly.
And he didn't want to, but he did.
Yeah, I'm glad he did.
Thank God. Glad he did, too. Charlotte's mom was not too happy, according to internet reports. You look at the Dave Meltzer sites, you look at Jason Powell sites, you look at, you know, any pro wrestling podcast out there, everybody was talking about it. Did it step over the line? And the one thing that brings me back is we just recently celebrated the passing of Eddie Guerrero, you know, the anniversary, 10-year anniversary. Everybody was looking upon him with fond memories. We did here at the show as well.
Yeah.
But the one most disgusting thing that made me feel so uncomfortable was the feud between Rey Mysterio and Randy Orton.
Yep.
Randy Orton saying that Rey was basically not living up to the expectations, and that Eddie, you know, Eddie Guerrero being dead, rolling around in his grave, just absolutely disgusting, most uncomfortable for me to watch. And
that he was in hell, which for a spiritual, if you're a spiritual or religious person like Eddie was, or someone who's his friend and you're spiritual and religious, that's actually the worst thing you can say.
Yeah.
Actually.
And I don't remember what the reports were, and you probably do.
They were very negative.
I know that they were very negative, but I have to wonder if Vicky Guerrero and Ray signed off on it, because it seemed to me like Ray was very, in shoot videos, Ray was very uncomfortable with that angle.
Ray was very uncomfortable with the angle. Chris Benoit was furious with the angle. Vicky, I don't really know how Vicky felt. You know, Vicky stayed on the show for a long time.
Well, I was going to say, you know, Vicky, to me,
she loved it.
Was such a, yeah, but she, you know, she's such a trooper. And so this harkened back to that. There are times when wrestling gets really, really real. And there are times where wrestling is done and angles are done in very poor taste. I believe this is one of those moments where I just felt disgusting. And we talked about it on the show, regardless of whether or not even Rick or Charlotte or the family was even approached with this idea, which obviously Ric Flair and his and her mom was not, to say something or to take the angle to a place that facts did not line up with Reed Flair's death. And also the fact that they would even bring this up was an all-time low, because the promo could have stopped at a certain segment and everybody would have been along for the ride and said, you know what? This is real. This is cool reality in wrestling, as kayfabe is truly dead, I believe, in this day and age. It could have stopped at a certain segment and we would have all been okay with it. But it went that step further, you know.
But the angle wasn't real. Paige doesn't hate Charlotte or Reed Flair.
Right. Of course not. Of course not.
That's what bothered me.
Of course not. It's disingenuous, right?
Well, look, when you work for Vince McMahon, like Eddie Guerrero or Vicky Guerrero or Reed Flair, who was training, and, you know, in a sense, he felt like he owned Reed Flair. And when Vince McMahon owns you, he can do whatever he wants with you, even if you're dead, because he's an evil carny.
We talked about that.
And he doesn't care about human life very much, because it's all about the good of the
WWE coffee, by the way. That's what I'm drinking out of. That's how much of a mark I am.
Go ahead. That's an evil coffee mug.
This coffee mug is full of evil energy, and I will put it to good use with my roster.
Well, you know, Vince McMahon represents the carny evil combined with the corporate evil that destroys other companies. He did it to the AWA, okay? And he did it to just about every place. And, you know, there were periods of time where I stopped watching, and one of them was 2006 for a little while. I guess I was just watching the In Demand, that which is kind of like a very, very small version of the network back then. I had no interest in their show, and he's done that before. Now, look, promoters have done things like this before. Fritz Von Erich is probably the worst. Mm. You know, what he essentially did to his son, Mike Von Erich, was... I don't even know what to say about that one. This is up there. I think this is probably worse than the Eddie one, because here's a kid who has problems. You know, let me tell you something about drugs. When you do heroin, it's over. You're hooked on it. You always crave it. You always want it again. I've never done heroin. Let me be really specific while I say this.
Right. I've known a lot of friends that have, and some of them have come back, but very few.
They can definitely come back, but they'll get hooked on like painkillers or Oxycontin, something similar. So this kid had no chance. And quite frankly, and this is a very controversial statement, his father promotes heavy partying. And he was hanging out with his father the night he died. I'm not saying his father told him to do heroin. I'm saying he didn't have a father figure to say, hey, don't drink. If you're hooked on heroin, you shouldn't drink either to get off. You should really just keep yourself completely clean. So what I'm trying to say is I don't feel like Reed had a fair shot at anything. And now we're taking this. You know, what I remember most about Reed Flair is he won the AAU. He went to the finals, or maybe he finished second. I can't remember if he won or not. But, you know, the big thing that happened in 1998 that led to Ric Flair and Eric Bischoff, you know, suing each other in WCW because he wanted to reform the Horsemen on Thunder or something, and he wanted to go to Reed's final. That's what I remember about Reed Flair, a little boy. Mm-hmm. I don't want to think now they've sullied his memory and will always remember this crap. And you know what? That's what they wanted to have happen because their ratings are 2.19, 2.24, 2.3. I've never seen the ratings this low. I stopped watching wrestling from about 92 to 96. When I started watching again, the ratings weren't this low. So I've never seen the ratings this low.
I never have either. And it just goes to prove that the WWE will go through anything. Now, look, it's not a conflict of interest that we promote WWE. We love the network. We love
the
talent.
The wrestlers and the interviews that they own.
We love the staff. We love the production. You know, we love all that. But man, oh man, they just
I love Dean Ambrose. I love Cesaro. I love writers like Michael Hayes and agents like Dean Malenko. Mm-hmm. The history of wrestling that Nick Bockwinkel represents is the antithesis of this, you know, schlock TV that they put on when their ratings are low, the necrophilia when their ratings are low. You know, Reed Flair's memory brought up. You're not going to turn your ratings around with this crap. You know, I think he's lost it, Vince McMahon, right, because this goes on his table. I'm sure some writer wrote this. Now, what we need to get into is them kind of implying via a statement that she fucking came up with the, when the fuck does Charlotte Flair fucking book angles? I never heard of that. That's when I started to get pissed off. That's when I started to say, this is getting out of hand. Now they're like, hey, do this. That girl was breaking up the moment she mentioned her brother 2 or 3 minutes before they even went to the inn.
Yeah, she couldn't keep it together.
There's no way she could have handled that. There's no way they would have told Ric Flair or the mother because they know they would have shot it down. Triple H didn't even call his supposed friend Ric Flair right after the thing and tell him. If this is what they want us to talk about, get us going about, this isn't the way to get ratings back because we're talking about how they suck. We're not talking about how they did something controversial. We're talking about how they're an awful company and their ratings are still low no matter what they do. This match should have some really strange heat tomorrow on Survivor Series. I'll tell you that.
Well, believe it or not, I'm actually looking forward to this match. I know that both divas can go, and you can tell that Paige was not happy about cutting this promo one bit. Michael Cole, definitely uncomfortable. When you're looking at the video, because this is a video podcast as well as YouTube,
right,
as well as audio. And I just thought that when you listen to the promo, listening to Charlotte's voice and Paige's voice to deliver those promos, oh, and, you know, hardcore wrestling fans are going to tune in. We're going to be disgusted. We're going to talk about it over social media. It'll get trending, which it was. And then you're going to get the casual fans that just don't know. I mean, who is this Reed Flair? And I'm sure his Wikipedia page blew up and they're like, oh, this is the circumstances. Or maybe some of them don't even know. And they're like, the only Flair that I know that was on TV may have been the one I saw during the glory days of WCW. You know, David Flair, who used to date Stacy Keibler. It's like, who is this?
Talk about negative star matches.
I mean, oh, my gosh.
Buff Bagwell against David Flair. Check it out, everybody.
Let's not check it out, okay? Speaking of Buff Bagwell, maybe I'll reach out to him, get him on the show to talk about his new video. But
everyone should go check out the trailer at the least.
I've checked out the trailer. It's
yeah, great. A lot of nudity.
A lot more than
I was expecting. How about that?
He is a male dancer after all. Maybe we should get Scott Hudson to talk about him and bring him back to talk about Buff the Stuff.
I guess so.
Stuff.
That's a guy that's definitely controversial back there when he was an announcer.
No doubt.
Buff.
Well, anyway.
He's got a new thing out. I forget what it's called. I'd love to promote it for him, but I can't remember the name.
We'll get back with that. But this match will be interesting to say the least. I just think that the Fed has dropped to an all-new low
yep.
in this. That is my opinion. I've been reserving my my true opinion regarding this. I am looking forward to the match. I do believe that it is great that the women get headlined in this match, or get the headlining spot, the final slot on WWE Raw. But I believe that they're hesitant to pull the trigger because of the controversial nature of the promo. And it's like, either you do or you don't. There is no try, okay? That's Master Yoda right there. Do or do not, there is no try. You either believe in it to put it in the last segment and promote it every single segment to bring your ratings up, that this is going to be a really big moment, or you don't. They half-assed did it. And that didn't help anybody. How can you put something like this on and not promote it? And then...
Do 2.3 again.
I mean, do you have the ratings for this past week to see how that segment did?
They started at 3.5 million, which was for them lately a strong first hour. And as usual, they tailed off to 3.02 million for the third hour. So no, there was no spike in the ratings. The ratings drop steadily as the show goes on now, because football starts, you know, into the show. So they pack up the first hour. So now they're trying to pack the last hour with something. But I don't know. It's almost like self-sabotage. It's like, well, let's just hope it fails.
Well, once again.
Disgusting show. Disgusting show. I don't like the show. Let me be very clear. I like the wrestlers Kevin Owens. I like the wrestler Kevin Rollins. Is that his name? Kevin Owens. Cesaro's a great worker. Stephanie McMahon's a great heel when she's on the mic. Paul Heyman's a great heel. Brock Lesnar's wonderful. I love The Undertaker. I don't dislike this program, because the program is not one man, although he thinks it is. Vince does. He thinks this program is me. But the program is a collection of the history of wrestling, because he owns all of it to some degree now. That's why I promote New Japan so much, because I feel like New Japan, people can catch it on Axis and see, like, they don't do angles like this. They're like, Tanahashi won the G1. He's going to fight Okada. That's the angle. You know, I mean, they have pull-aparts, but they don't go this. You don't have to go this direction, is what I'm saying. But they've turned themselves into this thing. They've turned themselves into a situation where, you know, AJ Styles, who's supposedly talking to them, is going to come in, and now he's going to have to take acting classes. We know that Georgia boy can't talk, right? He's a Christian boy from Georgia. He doesn't know how to do. If I were him, I would just stay put. But that's another story. But
well, speaking of football, before I have to interrupt, but did you hear the NFL ESPN promo that they did on Brock Osweiler? I think it was Brock Osweiler. They're saying Barack, doing the Brock Lesnar.
I didn't hear that.
Oh my god, it's so funny.
I've decided to boycott the NFL because of the Hardy situation. That's the most shocking thing I've ever said on the show, by the way.
How about that?
I just don't like their opinions. I'm more of a college football person anyway, and you know, I'm just not watching this year. The Saints are terrible. The Titans are really terrible too. So I'm just not watching. I don't give a shit.
Well, all right. Well, that's new information to me. I'm very surprised by that. But
it's getting weirder and weirder every year. Stephen,
well, for me, all I'm saying is that no matter if you're a Ronda Rousey fan, you're a home fan, whatever the case is, I have to say this, that from day one, all organized sports, there is a possibility of it being fixed. That's all I'm saying.
Do you really think the Rousey fight was fixed? Is that what you're trying to say? You can't possibly be saying that to me, right?
Well,
Did you see that kick to the face? That was quite a stiff kick.
Well, I don't necessarily think that it was, but there's always the possibility, like all organized sports, as I said, whether it's boxing, football, whatever, when there's tons of money on the line, it's really difficult for people to give integrity to sports when there's so much money rolling in because of it.
I'm going to blame her trainer on that. I think her mother is right. I think the trainer's a fraud to some degree, and the mother sort of boycotted, similarly, like I was saying, boycotted the fight, didn't fly to Australia. It was the first flight her mother wasn't at. I think she was just out of it. I think she's focused on movies, and I think Holly Holm was primed to beat her ass. They'd been training for this for years. She got her ass kicked. It really wasn't even close.
She did.
And it will go down as the most, and this is what's really cool. You want to talk about the Divas Revolution, mm-hmm. or you want to talk about a women's revolution? Well, this will go down as the pay-per-view match of the year, no doubt. There won't even be anything close to the level of excitement or things being talked about.
Well, everybody lost their ass on the fight except for the owners of the UFC, who actually also own stake in, was it the casino hotels as well?
Interesting.
The casino,
now you're getting
the station and casinos. Did you hear about that?
That's interesting.
Because they didn't raise their ass. Maybe that's all I'm saying. I mean, I hate to sound all Ventura about this and conspiracy theory.
I love it.
But I think the bottom line is that they didn't lose their ass because they are stakeholders in the UFC. And then the other thing is that Ronda has made no bones about the fact that she needs some time off and she does have upcoming film projects. You can't be slave to two masters when you're in a competitive sport arena as UFC, I do believe. You can't do it all. And you can't do it all to the level that you need to do it in order to be that champion, in my opinion. If you're going to be out there doing commercials and TV shows and films and then doing the promotion on the schedule that she's at, I think it's very hard. And I am a Ronda Rousey fan. I do like UFC. I've liked
UFC. I still support her too. You know, people stop supporting her all of a sudden. That's very lame.
Yeah. But, people stop supporting her? Come on.
A lot of people did. But let me say this. The reason I don't think it was fixed is because unless she said, I'm retiring, I'm going to get my ass kicked for a big payday. Sure, I believe that. If she's going to continue to fight, this is the worst thing she could have done for her draw. I watched Mike Tyson. Once he lost to Buster Douglas, which he didn't get an ass whipping like this to Buster Douglas, his draw kind of deflated and his aura was gone. Because all you can really do is have a big money from one or two rematches with Holm. After that, her aura of invincibility is lower. I think it would cost them money. That's why I don't believe it. I do believe, however, that they were watching both camps. You know, I heard Rousey was out of it in her camp. She just didn't train right, and her trainer's fucking dumb. She finishes the first round after getting a beat, and he goes, "You're doing great." No, you're not. You're about to get kicked in the fucking face and knocked out.
Well, yeah.
And anyway. Hell of a fight.
Well, I tell you, Holly Holm, congratulations. You know, maybe.
Congratulations, Holmes. Get it?
Well, anyway, I just had to throw that in.
First lighthearted thing we've said this whole show.
I know, right? Well,
the dark cast has come down upon you.
Hey, the dark cast. Yeah, go ahead.
You know, one time you're like, I can't do the podcast this week. Why don't you do it? And I'm like, oh, John, I can't do a podcast alone. But now I think I could do a solo podcast called Stephen Anthony's Dark Cast.
Be part of it.
And my first guest will be Jake Roberts. And my first question will be, what's the sexiest thing you ever thought of? And my second question will be, how many people have you killed secretly?
If you do that, that would be the number one show on this network. The Dark Cast with Stephen Anthony, part of the Pro Wrestling Cast and Weeby Geeks Network
podcast. Yeah, and the opening song will be Thus Spake the Night Spirit by Emperor.
Nice, let's do that.
I guarantee you. Kicks in after the intro.
Look it up, boys and girls, please. Please
do. Oh, yeah, especially young people. Look it up.
Yes.
A band that's actually has murdered people.
Please, do it.
Well, they got rid of him after he murdered the guy, so it's okay.
All right.
They won't put up with that.
I hope that you enjoy our little teaspoon of darkness served on a silver platter every single week when we do this show. Speaking of things served up on a silver platter, let's go ahead and talk about Survivor Series that happens tomorrow on the WWE Network. The tournament, everyone's involved in a tournament except for R-Truth, my man coming out on SmackDown and said, I'm going to be the WWE World Heavyweight Champion. But you're not in the tournament, Truth. Oh, my bad.
Yeah.
My bad.
He's done that twice now.
That's the second time
he's done that gimmick, though.
I love it.
He did it in New Orleans, I remember.
It's so good.
It's fun. It's fun. He's fun.
Well, R-Truth really, and you know, the one of the things is that between all the people in the ring, you know, R-Truth can go with any one of those guys. At his age, he can go.
He's very underrated, and you know, I wish TNA's his initial tenure. I don't know if anybody knows he was their champion. I wish I would have went a little better.
I do too.
But someone was.
But that's working. That's what happens when you work with Pac-Man Jones, folks.
He got jumped by a Klansman who unmasked to be Vince Russo, and that really is a TNA angle from 2002. Look it up.
You are correct.
Disgusting. Okay, Survivor Series. No more darkness. The darkness has come upon me. This business is dark. I'm not dark. I'm just dark.
Speaking of dark. Speaking of dark, we have the Survivor Series Taker and Kane versus Wyatt Family. What two Wyatt Family members do you think, other than Bray Wyatt, will be going up against the Brothers of Destruction this time out?
I don't know.
Braun Strowman.
This angle is really bad. I mean, they beat three people at once. You know, I guess you got to go with Wyatt and Harper if you don't want the match to suck.
Yeah.
I guess you could do Braun Strowman and Luke Harper and have them squash them. I mean, you might as well. You've completely squashed them. They're already dead.
Who comes out on top on this particular
Undertaker?
I feel so sorry for Wyatt.
I think he's booking this. I swear, I don't understand what this is. If this is meant to be sort of a gift of some sort for jobbing to Lesnar and doing extra matches this year and having Undertaker month, then that's cool and understandable. But as usual, they're sacrificing young people that could do a better job. But, you know, Bray Wyatt's going to continue to get jobbed out, even though he's one of the best promos. I'm talking about as a person performing a promo that they have. But he's just completely been treading water since he jobbed to The Undertaker at WrestleMania. He's been treading water for a year.
It's sad.
It's a lot of treading. The writing team can't come up with an idea for him. The controversial writing team can't come up with an idea for him.
Okay, the writing team sucks. I can't stand it. Sorry, guys. Like I said, I've tried to help you. I've tried to defend you. Booking sucks. Writing sucks. I can't wait just to see these performers perform. But man, I tell you what, how much shit can they possibly eat on a weekly basis? I just don't understand it.
It sucks. The angle sucks. Here's how you get over Wyatt, by the way. Here you go. They have a match at SummerSlam. Wyatt goes over.
Okay.
That's how you get him over. You got it?
I got it.
That's all you got to do. And then they have a rematch a year later at SummerSlam, Undertaker to get his revenge, and Wyatt goes over again.
He's over.
He's over.
But that is, if Undertaker decides to stick around, I mean, I think this is it. This is part of the Undertaker retirement tour 2015, 2016, in my thought.
Right. Well, you usually job when you're on your way out. I'm just saying.
Well, yes, of course.
I love The Undertaker. I always have. I'm a huge mark for him. I've been a mark for him. He got me back into the business in 97 when he was doing his dark sort of pinhead character, and it got me reinterested in this incredible Hell in a Cell match with Shawn Michaels.
Right.
In 97. I mean, well, that's the Hell in a Cell match. That is the match.
Did you like the Undertaker Week special, The Legends with JBL?
Yeah, great.
Once again, Stone Cold. You had the Showstopper, Shawn Michaels, of course, JBL, and Stone Cold Steve Austin on the show about the Undertaker, which I enjoyed tremendously. That's a type of Legends panel that I'm looking forward to, that they needed to bring back for many years, because those superstars, you know, please take my money. I'd buy in.
Yeah, and, yeah. PSK talk, and they talked about matches they did with him. They talked about how he would, you know, tell people, I owe you rent if they're being too stiff. And he sounds like a really cool guy. They give a really good impression of who he is backstage. They're three of the biggest stars that are still left around. And I thought it was really good. I watched both of them twice. So I really liked it.
We know that Stone Cold Steve Austin has brought the business to new heights. But do you agree that The Undertaker is the best character that the WWE has ever created?
Yeah, I do. I think with The Undertaker, he was an anchor in the water for all those years with the steroid scandal, Diesel's flop as championship, Michaels flopped as a babyface champion in 96, although they try to hide that now. In 97, they started losing everybody to Vince by 96, 97, and he was the anchor in the water that kept them afloat. If he would have been gone, I don't know if they would have made it. And he always was a locker room leader. So to me, he's the anchor in the water. His character's tremendous. You know, when I started watching wrestling again when I was 20, you know, I was too cool for my own good. I was in a very emo for the time. This is in the 90s, though, so it was really very few of us around. Dissonant kind of rock band, kind of like Jawbox used to be. I don't know if you remember that band.
Yes.
And for me to get into something like stupid wrestling again, you know, I was Mr. Cool. So he was pretty damn cool to me. For me to get back into watching wrestling and telling people I watched wrestling, and to the point where I'm on a TV YouTube on TV and on a podcast talking about it. So I love The Undertaker, no doubt.
For the record, I think that this match is going to not end decisively. I think it's going to be a schmoz.
Oh, great. Sounds fantastic.
Well, that's my thought. I think that I don't know if it's going to be a dusty finish, but I think it's going to be a schmoz. I think it's going to be screwed up, and I think that they're going to continue this because they need to get a little bit more heat on the Wyatt family.
I think no matter what happens, it'll suck. They've killed the Wyatt's heat. I mean, what can they do now?
I don't know. And that's exactly why I think that it's going to be an indecisive finish to the match. I don't think they're now. I could be wrong. Do you foresee someone going over clean? Because I don't.
Yeah, I see the Undertaker pinning Wyatt clean.
Oh, okay. Well, all right. The both of us differ on it for once. That's good. Survivor Series Intercontinental semifinal match, or not Intercontinental match. I'm sorry. It's a Survivor Series championship match.
With the Intercontinental champion.
Yeah. With the Intercontinental champion, Kevin Owens and Dean Ambrose. Who's going to win in that? Because I'm sorry, but I think KO is not going to win this match.
I'm primed for this match. I'm primed for an Ambrose heel turn. So I see them having an incredibly awesome match, and I can see the booking having it to where Kevin Owens, you have to protect Owens in the booking. I don't expect them to do anything right anymore with their booking. They're absolutely hideous right now. They booked the Charlotte thing. It disgusts me and makes me angry. They booked the Undertaker thing completely awful. So why would I think they would book this right?
Well,
if
you know,
the big thing, the booker, I would give some foreshadowing to how Dean's going to turn heel, but not make it obvious. So he gets a babyface win, but it forecasts a heel turn by bringing out someone that could be involved in the heel turn, and then Kevin Owens saves face as a heel. You don't want to make Owens. You want to keep Owen strong because they're so lacking in any sort of mechanical heel whatsoever.
I agree. I think that, you know, we'll see what happens. I hate to see any heat lost on this match to make Kevin Owens look bad. Mm-hmm. Because I want the best for both competitors. It's really difficult when you're vying for the top prize in the entire promotion, and yet you still have the secondary title.
Right.
How can you still maintain that strength? What's going to happen? And the great thing about this particular event is that it is not clear cut. Can you remember a year ago that everything seemed to be very clear cut? We could think and look back on the Survivor Series and go, okay, I know how this is going to go. It's very predictable. It's paint by numbers, not a big deal. We as fans don't know. We don't know how they're going to do it. Now, that is a good thing, I think, that it leads us to, you know, that's what we do. We talk about news and speculation on this podcast. That makes our job easier because we have a lot to talk about. How is it going to go? And our opinions do differ on it from time to time. So how do you get these strong characters over and still, you know, continue to forward this tournament? Much like Alberto Del Rio and Roman Reigns in the next semifinal match. So how do you see this playing out?
Another mechanical heel that shouldn't lose that will. You know, they've ruined Del Rio with Zeb Coulter. He's one of the best wrestlers in the world. I said that when we were rating our top five. He was doing such a great job in Lucha Underground. In AAA, he had one of the two decent matches. It's actually a really good match, a hair mask match. It was a hair match. And you know, essentially on the AAA pay-per-view, that was essentially the worst pay-per-view I've ever seen because of audio issues more than anything else.
Right.
And the Psycho Clowns match, which actually blew my mind at how bad it was. But, you know, El Patron still had a great match, despite the crowd being, huh? And despite the audio issues, he still pulled it off. He's that good. And now he's on WWE being completely boring, not looking interested in what he's doing. And, you know, what they could do is have Zeb Coulter. He's going to lose this match, probably clean. And what I would do is blame Zeb Coulter, have Coulter make some sort of dumb statement, and then he slaps him in the face a la real life or something like that and gets rid of him. But he can't make it without him. I think this.
I don't know if he can make it without him. I think that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, he can.
Del Rio can make it without Zeb Coulter. Yes,
that's what that's what I meant. I'm sorry. He does not need Zeb Coulter. Tying into this in a quick bit of news, CMLL's star La Sombra, who inexplicably jobbed to a much older wrestler named Atlantis and lost his mask to Atlantis, is coming to WWE. Now, that's a classy guy because he probably knew he was leaving when he jobbed. I think it was back in July or August. I'm having trouble remembering. But everyone was shocked by the ending. Well, La Sombra could be that potential huge Latin baby face for the Latin market, I should say.
Yeah, we've got a lot of signing news just to go. We'll just go ahead and roll through the rest of this.
Go ahead.
But I believe that they're going to book Roman Reigns to go over Del Rio. But man, Del Rio, show some fire, my brother. And please, can we do a different finisher than his modified coup d'etat? Can we please?
Yeah,
can we please just find a different one?
It's stupid.
He needs a really good finisher, and you know what?
He has one, the armbar.
I mean, let's bring it back. It's legit. People know that's a legit move, so let's bring
that back. Hurts. Trust me, I've had it. It's very painful.
Probably something that's going to be in the early stages of the Survivor Series is going to be Ziggler versus Tyler Breeze match.
I think that's a pre-show. Is that on the show? I hope it's on the show. It should be.
It's supposedly on the show.
Okay, good. I believe
that they're going to do a tag match to maybe do the warm-up for the show.
Right. Okay, that's right.
It's been unannounced, but yes, Ziggler versus Tyler Breeze.
Sounds fantastic. Sounds like
it's going to be a really good match because the two of them can go. And for me, it would make sense if Tyler Breeze heels out and really gives Dolph a run for his money and comes out on top, not with a clean finish, but with a dastardly finish. Come on, bro. You're finally here on the main roster. Heel out. And, Summer Rae's going to get involved. Selfie stick, bam, bam, boom. Yeah. 1, 2, 3 for the pin. There you go.
I see him taking Ziggler's spot, actually. I think that's what's happening.
Well, he might take Ziggler's spot. And as he takes Ziggler's spot, they might actually elevate Ziggler. We'll see.
Yeah, right.
You're right. Okay, I believe you.
Here comes the dark cast.
Here comes the dark cast. The dark cast is coming upon us. Who goes over, Charlotte or Paige, for the WWE champion? Charlotte being the incumbent.
You have to put Charlotte over after what you fucking done this week. But you know what? If they put Paige over, I don't even know what to tell you. The evil
Paige going to heal out. Evil wins. You know, I think Charlotte will retain.
Yeah.
And this is going to be a barn burner. I do look forward to see the two of them work. I am a big fan of the Charlotte character. I'm a big fan of Paige, not necessarily that promo as we discussed earlier in much depth. Final bit of speculation: who's going to win the tournament and who's going to walk out with the WWE title? Can we possibly see the return of a Brock Lesnar?
No.
Is there a Money in the Bank cash in?
Maybe.
Is the world champion, whoever is going to be crowned, going to face Y2J? I mean, what's going to happen here?
One or two things can happen. Reigns gets a babyface win and holds up the belt proudly, and they set up a new feud. They should do that, probably. They're screwed anyway, so there's no good way to book this, but you need to make a top heel, and you need a new champion, and you need a babyface. I guess Reigns, by default, is now the top babyface, although he gets no kind of pop. God, they're so fucked when I really think about the big picture.
Oh, they're really fucked. I mean, my thing is, why don't you get one of Vince's all-time advisors on board to please help? You know who I'm talking about.
No, who? Gerald Briscoe?
No. Patterson? Pat Patterson.
Well, I'm sure he did. I'm sure he did call him. I mean, he calls him from time to time. I know that. What can he do? I mean, you got Del Rio. You got you said name your top five heels. I'm like, five heels? I can't think of five. Del Rio, Owens, Sheamus, Tyler Breeze from NXT, who's just coming to roster. You got to make Ambrose a heel, and you got to probably, I don't know, make him in the Authority and put the belt on him. But then again, you screw Reigns for the 1,000th time and kill his heat even more. So they're in a bad position. I don't know. I guess we have Reigns win the belt and have Ambrose turn heel. I don't know what to do. They're screwed. They have no top heel. Kevin Owens, they don't want him to be the top heel, so therefore he isn't. He could have been. He was for a little bit there with the Cena feud after the initial clean win. But they fucked that up.
Crazy, crazy stuff indeed. So, moving from that, we do have some more wrestling news. Are we done with the Fed, the
yes.
E-news? Okay, let's move on. A lot of stuff going on really quickly in terms of television and deals going down. First off, let's start with TNA. A lot of speculation has gone on this past week. Will TNA find a new home? Will they not, leaving Destination America in 2016? There was rumors of WGN. There was rumors of this new network, but they finally made home. Why don't you go ahead and tell everybody where they're going to be?
I forgot the name. What is it? Pop TV?
Pop TV.
Okay. Well, I'd heard a rumor last week that the new home of TNA was actually in January was going to end up being Matt Hardy brand's Twitter feed. And what they would do is put GIFs on, or GIFs, whatever they're called, on the Twitter feed every couple of seconds to continue the tournament. Also heard the tournament was going to feature more and more taped matches. One of them I heard was going to be AJ Styles versus Samoa Joe from Unbreakable. And I believe Andre the Giant against Hulk Hogan from the Pontiac Silverdome was in the tournament, which would, of course, set up Andre the Giant versus Bram for the world title.
You are so funny, man. I'm
sorry. So, yeah, Matt Hardy's Twitter is the new home of TNA.
Well, that would actually be kind of interesting because they actually have more followers on his Twitter than they have viewers. So
that was a joke. You got it. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. You're welcome for that.
Because they have about 300,000 viewers, and then he has probably more than that. I don't know.
He's got like 1.5 followers. So,
oh, wow. He's doing it.
TNA, yes. Premieres on Pop TV.
Yeah.
Hashtag Impact on Pop. And here's a press release. Get ready for Impact on Pop, a network that celebrates the excitement of being a fan and will soon become the exclusive U.S. home for Impact Wrestling, the hard-hitting, high-flying global sports sensation enjoyed by millions of fans around the world. Pop will premiere Impact Wrestling with a live two-hour action-packed broadcast Tuesday, January 5th of 2016. Show will continue every Tuesday night, new time, new place, new station, and new time slot, 9 p.m. Eastern Pacific. Show will feature some of the biggest stars in professional wrestling. This is where it gets funny.
Who's that?
Jeff and Matt Hardy, EC3, Kurt Angle, Bobby Lashley, The Wolves, Eric Young, Tigre Uno, and Gail Kim.
Tigre Uno.
I think, what is it, like two-thirds of that listing is actually not going to be with the Fed at that point?
No, I mean, but did she say Kurt Angle?
Yes. This is the official press release I'm reading from TNA.
No, I mean, I don't know. They're basically turning into Omega, where like Matt Hardy's booking it seems like, and Shane Helms works backstage, and Jeff Hardy's riding his motorcycle. That was kind of my joke. I mean, like, they're basically hanging on. But you know what? I'm glad they got a TV deal. And, you know, I'd like to see them. I think it has another 250,000 or 250 million homes, something like that.
I have a quote.
250,000 more homes. Wow.
They are. I think this will be a step up because they will be in more homes, as you said. And I have a quote here from Brad Schwartz, the president of Pop. He says, quote, wrestling has been a fan-fueled staple since the 50s and continues to be some of the most watched appointment television today. Diehard wrestling fandom and extraordinary passion surrounding Impact Wrestling captures a spirit of Pop as a network that celebrates fan-driven entertainment and excitement. So right. I have a feeling that the Pop Network will be full of podcast style shows like ours that will talk about today's hottest shows like The Walking Dead or pro wrestling or this kind of stuff, and also cover pop conventions around the United States. I think it's going to be a good network. And if anything, hopefully they'll have the content available online, which will be great. And they can continue to do good brand business overseas. So am I happy about it? Hell yeah. President Dixie Carter of TNA says, quote, Pop's enthusiasm for our partnership and the network's fan focus is a perfect fit for our company. Wrestling has always been at the forefront of pop culture with the most passionate and loyal fan base. And we're thrilled to be in the business with Pop and to bring Impact Wrestling to more than 80 million homes. Hey,
sure.
That's great.
Go for it. I got it. I'm with you.
Let's get Dixie on the show to promote this move. That's what I'm saying. Let's get someone from the Impact Wrestling show to talk about it. Let's get
I'm going to tell you a quick story, but I don't have a lot of time, as you know. But I want to tell this quick story. Dixie came up to me the third or fourth time I talked to her and wanted me to go to a writer's meeting and have a pizza party. And I'm telling you this because I'm like, I'm not qualified to do that. I just thought that was kind of shocking that, like, I guess she knew I had some sort of insight, but it was just like, you want me? You don't really know me that well to come in to a meeting and give like ideas to writers. I just thought that was shocking because I was literally like selling her boyfriend's suits.
on a different note,
You don't believe that, do you?
I do believe it. That's really what I'm saying. I do believe you. I do believe you.
And this place I worked at has closed down, but I haven't seen them in probably 3 or 4 years.
Well, moving on really quick.
The Dark Cast.
The Dark Cast continues. We also have a Ring of Honor finding a new home with the Comet Network.
I wrote on my Twitter, Comet? I'm glad that, I mean, it's a Sinclair company, so it's a good thing. It's more homes for them. They outdraw TNA because TNA doesn't even do house shows really. And, you know, they're doing fine. I will make a quick prediction that they will lose several key pieces of talent to WWE in the near future. And I'm glad they got the Young Bucks signed up. I'm big marks for their shenanigans. Well, their matches are kind of silly, but, you know, I certainly like them.
I'll definitely. Please check out the Comet Network on your search of your search.
Yeah, search for it really hard, and you might find it.
Just really quickly, a lot of rumors surrounding NXT, different signings that we were talking about, people getting signed. We talked about the signing of several people. There was talk of AJ Styles. That has been kiboshed because you said that photo was Photoshopped, correct?
Well, no, I think they're talking to AJ Styles. He's not signed with New Japan technically. So, but no, that photo was a fake. That wasn't.
Well, a lot of people are actually speculating that the WWE might actually, and New Japan might actually have some kind of agreement because I hear rumblings of Nakamura actually coming over.
I've never heard that.
I heard that just the other day about Nakamura coming over.
Never
and doing something.
Do you know Nakamura has clothing lines and he's on TV shows and he's in main events where he makes hundreds of thousands of dollars in Japan? I don't think he'd ever come over here. Plus, he's an underground legend here. People like me talk about him all the time. The Ring of Honor crowd pops for him like it's fucking Hulk Hogan in 1987. You know, I don't think he needs to come here. AJ Styles, sure. You know, he's from Georgia. He wants to be home. Wants to be in Gainesville some of the time of the year. I don't know about that. I do think they're trying to grab as much talent as they can because that's all they can do.
Austin Aries spotted at an NXT taping. Comment on that?
Yeah, he'd be great for NXT. I don't think he'd make the main roster, but he'd be great for NXT. He's an excellent wrestler. I've always enjoyed him.
I do, too. James Storm, still no contract as of yet.
But he was there last night, too, wasn't he?
Yeah, and we also understand that there are other former Impact Wrestling knockouts that may be approached as well to help the division. I think that it's interesting and it's telling because you have NXT focusing on stars, and some of their gimmicks may not transfer very well to the main roster when it's all said and done. I think Tyler Breeze is good, but look at people like the Rosebud, Adam Rose. Didn't translate. Emma didn't translate. They need to go back to NXT to rebirth themselves some way because we know that no one cares about Adam Rose.
Adam Rose lost in a squash on the tapings. I forget who he got squashed. Wait, he lost to James Storm. He got squashed by James Storm.
Yeah, I know that we're running out of time, but that's a lot of stuff to cover. Even where can people find you on the internet?
Dr. Death Mark. Oh, and of course, the new My Life Through Noise album, Hate You and the Shadow of Blue.
Please use our Amazon.
I'm not listening to my music anymore, but you know what? I finished the album, and that's fun to do when you're 38. But you know, I guess my bizarre religious albums aren't as popular as my rock albums from the 90s and 2000s.
They're still good. It's still good stuff.
Because I am a Dr. Deathmark for life, and I do like to talk wrestling on Twitter as Dr. Deathmark. You know, I like to talk about old school stuff and. You know, I do like that. So
right on, man. And don't forget to follow me at P Wrestling Cast and Steven. Every time we have a new show, subscribe to us on YouTube. Also subscribe to our feed on the We Be Geeks network of podcast shows. We've got Pro Wrestling Cast on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, so many different places to listen to our show. And leave us those 5-star reviews, please. We would appreciate it. Holidays are here. Black Friday specials going on at our links on Amazon at ProWrestlingCast.com, WWE Network. We also have WWE Shop, and we're going to have specials regarding WWE Shop for the holidays, including tons of t-shirt deals and merchandise deals. You want to get yourself a WWE commemorative belt? You can do that. Do that and save now at ProWrestlingCast.com and check during the next few days for Black Friday specials before Black Friday. And that'll be a great chance for Steven, for you to get your Brie Mode shirt. I'm telling you, this is your opportunity to show your love to Brie Bella. And for me, I'm going to get myself an I'm a Hugger shirt because I'm a Bayley fan.
Yeah.
We're going to see how NXT turns out as well against Eva Marie. Horrible promo as our friend said last week,
Ryan.
Ryan Hurley talking about how the fans turned their back. That was an awesome moment of NXT. Please check it out as well. Last words before we sign off for this week, because I know you got to run.
You know, watch wrestling. Don't give in to evil.
Nick Bockwinkel in this episode.
For life. Forever.
Nick Bockwinkel forever. And on behalf of Stephen Anthony, I am Al John Go. Don't forget to tuck your head. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye. Don't forget to see the Survivor Series on the WWE Network. Final pop.
Thanks for checking out Pro Wrestling Cast. If you've got a question or comment, leave us a voicemail at 615-9339-PWC. That's 615-9339-792. Follow us on Facebook at Pro Wrestling Cast and on Twitter at P Wrestling Cast, or email us at ProWrestlingCast@gmail.com.
It's still real to me, damn it!
Opinions and ideas presented in these podcasts are those of Pro Wrestling Cast and are for entertainment purposes.
You're awesome. Thank you so much, Mr. Fuck, for saying what needed to be said.